people, these children, and we love you and we appreciate everything that you're doing through them. And that, let that work be continued in them, that they may do it until the day of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you would just look upon us and that you would touch our souls, hearts, minds, spirits, and bodies, that we would all of that, we would line up with the word of God to do your will, to say yes to your will. Father, we ask you, Lord God, that you impart into us some spiritual blessing, that we, Lord God, can walk away from here strengthened. Lord God, that our faith would be concrete and unwavering. Father, we ask, God, that you would touch all of us, Lord God, and whatever our problems are, God, that you, we give them into your hand, that you would help us through them all. Father, now, Lord God, we ask, God, that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet on which it shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, and peace, and even prosperity to those that hear and believe it. Father, we thank you right now. We glorify your holy name. We magnify you. And after you've done all you want to do, God, we'll be careful to give you glory and praise. Father, we join in with the many wings, the many eyed cherubim, the chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy. And your glory fills the earth. And we thank you for filling us with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. As we said, we're focusing on the promise and the title tag and the thought. So this message on today would be stand and don't stagger. Amen. Tell somebody, say stand and don't stagger. I'm new. What he was capable of, but he didn't put it on his capability. You know what you're capable of, but you got to take it from your own capability and say, God, you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all I can ask or think according to the power that works in me. Do I have a witness here? And so we can't consider, don't consider the problem, forget about the problem. Don't consider your inadequacy. Forget about that. Don't consider the things that you cannot do or you could not do before. Just remember that God can make it happen. Amen. The Bible said we can do what? All things through Christ that strengthens. Anybody feel stronger? Christ will strengthen us and we can do whatever we need to do. So here it is. Abraham forgot about the problem. He said the problem ain't bigger than the God. That's our problem, is that our problem seems to be bigger than our God because we don't see God right. We can't see God for who he is. We can't see God for the one who flung the stars in space, put the moon in its socket, hung the sun up there and gave him the ability to rule over the day. I wish I had somebody who took the earth and put it on his finger like a basketball and spin it and it's still spin. Y'all don't hear me. He told the rivers to go and flow where they are. And the sea, see, you can only come up to right here and stop. You can only come to the beach. I can't let you go any further. God set the boundaries. And if God is that powerful to set the boundaries, he won't let us go off into the sun. He let every planet that has been created stay in its orbit and we don't crash into it. We haven't had any space junk to tear us apart yet. If God can do that, then God can do anything. We got to realize that God is bigger than our problem. Oh, we magnify the problem. We tell everybody about the problem. We walk and talk to everybody. We won't tell them how bad it is and how we feel. Somebody asks you, how you doing? Oh, Lord, I just don't feel. You know, we get to talking about how bad we feel, how I look like I can't do it. And then we start talking about people who get in our way as if they're really a problem. You know what? You need to tell them you really ain't a problem. You thought you were going to stop something, but you really ain't the problem. The only problem I got is when my faith is weak, because when my faith is strong, I can do anything, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Y'all don't hear this morning, but we got to understand that we can't let people, we can't let our problems and our situations become bigger than God. God is greater than anything that you can go through. All he has to do is speak one word, but when he speaks the word, you got to have faith to wait on it to manifest. When he said faith is the substance of things hoped for, what it means is that you got to have faith and you got to give it time and be patient and wait for things to substantiate. Y'all don't hear that? You got to wait for it to substantiate. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so because I already got it, I got to let it manifest in my life by walking in obedience. Oh, hallelujah. So Abraham said, I'm going to get busy. I'm going to do what God said. Now, you got to understand something, and this is perfectly all right when you have faith in God, and then, you know, you got some issues, the things that are working against you in the natural. The natural is some things in the natural that's going to work against you when you have faith, because faith is not of this world, it's out of this world. Y'all don't hear this. You understand what I'm saying? Because we can have faith in things, and you know, I got faith that when I go in my car, and it will surprise me, my car didn't crank up. I got faith that it's going to crank. We got faith. We got more faith in stuff. You sit in the pew. You figure the pew can hold 5 or 10 of us. So we're going to sit down here and we ain't going to fall on the floor. We got faith in stuff. More faith in stuff than we do in God. Amen. You got faith. Look, you trust an employer that you claim or you complain about that ain't paying you enough, but you trust them to work a week in the hole. That he going to pay you when time comes. But we fail to trust God who don't owe us anything. And we fail to trust him, to have faith in him. Amen? So we got to learn how to forget those things. And the thing about this is Abraham, look at this, when God spoke to them. Now, what happened was God, let me tell you how the story, when God came to visit, and when he came to visit, Sarah saw him coming. She told Abraham. Abraham said, get something cooked because we got to give something to God. So she went in there and prepared something for those who came. And then he talked to him about some stuff. And he told him, he said, on a certain time, you're gonna have your child. 90 years old. Sarah 70-something years old. And here it is, 75 years old, Sarah was. And when Sarah overheard the conversation, she laughed. And God said, what you laughing at? And she said, I ain't laughing. But she laughed in her doubt that I'm 75. He must not know. I ain't even cycling no more. You got it. So did I put that all right for the one over the children here? All right. And God said, you're laughing. And then she said, no, I'm laughing at the fact that somebody as old as me can get that kind of pleasure. So she wasn't even thinking about what God said further than that. See, sometimes our faith is only in pleasure. Only what God can give me to make me feel good. Oh, y'all don't hear this. God, if you give me more money, you give me a house, you give me a car, you give me, you know, give me my Boaz. Some of y'all end up with Bozo, Cookie, Homie, you know, the clowns. But that's what we want. We want something to make us feel good. And that's what we use our faith for. But then there's some Abrahams that even though Sarah doubted, even though she laughed, even though all she could think about was the pleasure and not the purpose. Lord have mercy. Amen. Abraham believed not just for himself, but he believed for Sarah. Amen. Y'all don't hear that. Amen. He believed for Sarah. And so when he began, he considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb. That means that even though Sarah laughed and all she wanted was pleasure, Abraham said, Sarah, we got to go further than this, and I'm going to believe God for you. Y'all with me here? Yeah. And so when you look at this, when you see that he didn't consider his own body now dead, Abraham, as old as he was, his own body, he said, he didn't consider it as dead. Uh-huh. Even though his family had a life insurance policy waiting. Thinking that who gonna get, look at this, let me show you why. Abraham had already made his will. And tell you why, because you read the scriptures about him, you'll find out that he said that all I have is this one servant, that this Eliezer, that I can leave my stuff to. I don't have a heir, so my foreman of my crew, that's who's gonna get everything. Yeah. He told that to God. He said, God, that's who's going to get everything. All this that you blessed me with, I'm going to give it to Eliezer because he's been following me and he's faithful. Amen. He had already decided that, you know, I'm past the age. So I'm going to, you know, give it to him. But then he said, now he forgot about the problem. He forgot about the things that he felt. He forgot about what was working against him. He forgot about the difficulty of it. He forgot about the impossibility of it. He forgot about what people were saying. And then he began to not call himself Abram and not call Sarah Sarai. Let me tell you what that means, okay? Abram means basically exalted father, which means it means that he was a foster dad. Because he had become a father to Lot and Eliezer and the people that was with him. That's what it meant. But then when he changed, God changed his name, he said no longer Abram, but Abraham. Abraham. He put God in it. I am Abraham. And so when God got into the mix, he changed his name and he became the father of many nations. So when people called him, they didn't call him stepdad. They didn't call him foster dad. They called him God, father of many nations. And so his name changed, and when his name changed, what they called him changed, yeah. Right? When his faith changed, what they called him changed. And sometimes when our faith changed, we got to know that things are going to change. And they begin to call him what he was not. He for 25 years, they called him something that he wasn't. Y'all don't hear that. 25 years, Sarah's name was changed. And so because it was changed for 25 years, they called him that. And then eventually the manifestation, it is important for you to call it what God said it is. Amen. It is important for you to call it. And you know, quit talking about your child a demon and call him a child of God. Oh, let me get through. Y'all getting bored in it. Y'all getting bored on me. So he in verse 20, he look at this. He said he staggered. Not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God. Now, he says he staggered not. And in other words, he did not ever withdraw from his strong belief that God could do what he said. He never withdrew. And sometimes we withdraw and then we try to link back up with what God said. Then we withdraw because it seemed like it's taking too long for God to do it. Amen. And when we stagger, and you know how it is, you know what it means to stagger. Let me give you just in our modern day vernacular, when you stagger, it's like a person who's drunk. It's like a person who can't walk a straight line. It's like a person who can't stand up and they always falling back. Come on. Yeah. You know how it is when somebody drunk, they fall, they stand there and they fall, they lean back, they fall back. Then they go to the side. Then they go to this side. In other words, you can't stand in the you can't stand for nothing. You can't stand on the promises of God. You can't even walk the line that God has given you to walk. You can't be obedient to what God said be. Amen. Because you're staggering, you're wavering, you're going from here to there, you're falling back sometimes. And Abraham, the Bible said, did not fall back. He did not go to the right or to the left, but he stayed obedient to God. He kept his faith in what God could do, not in what he could do. He said, God, if it's going to be done because my body dead and Sarah can't produce, oh, come on and say amen. But God, if it be your will, it's going to happen. Come on and say amen here. And so he look at this. He says that he considered not his own body dead, the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. He was strong in faith. Do you have strength in your faith? Now, it's one thing. You can have faith and be weak. But you got to have faith and be strong. And in order to be strong, you got to hear word. And that's why I mentioned that God said it in Genesis 12, 14, 17, 21. Guess what God did? Every time God would come back to Abraham and he would remind him, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. So sometimes you got to come back and hear the word of God. Sometimes you got to hear what God said. Now, you know, we can read what God said, but we got to go back and hear what the Lord has said. And why is it important for us to hear what God has said? Because the Bible says that faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Anybody hear the word lately? Anybody heard what God has said lately? It is important for us to hear what God is saying and not just hear all the gossip, not just hear what comes on CNN. and what Don Lemon talks about. Not to hear just what the View talks about, but it's for us to hear what the Word of God is saying. And anytime you're listening to everybody else and what somebody said and what I heard and they say is interfering with what God has said, because you're consumed with what everybody else is saying and you haven't heard enough of what God has said. If I want, you know how it is when something, you know how to get people worked up? You get them worked up by telling them something over and over. You call and get them worked up. You call and you talk about it. You know, when mess happen, we can talk about some mess. We keep that mess going, and in order for that mess to die, you got to quit giving it life. And every word you speak about it is giving it life. If you want some mess to die, I dare you to say, I don't want to hear it, and stop spreading it. Come on and say amen. And so anytime you want something to live, you keep talking about it. And so we got to keep talking about what God has said. I got to keep telling you that you're the righteousness of God. I have to keep telling you that you're healed by His stripes. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care if it takes 25 years like it did Abraham. I got to say it for 25 until you get it. I wish I had somebody in here. I got to keep on talking about it. Do you know that they had to keep talking about it? Because if they hadn't have kept talking about it, Abraham, Sarah wouldn't have came up with the idea and say, Abraham, my faith getting a little weak, but if you go ahead and take Hagar, my handmaiden, the one who, remember when they were in Egypt and I told you they got blessed? Why they got blessed? He gave her Hagar. And Hagar was her handmaiden. He said, go ahead. She said, take her and have a child with her. And maybe that child, I can claim him as my child. And see how they must have kept talking about it year after year. And by the time Sarah got about somewhere around 78 years old, Hagar had the baby and named him Ishmael. And because she named him Ishmael, he was the firstborn. Then when Sarah got pregnant, Ishmael began to come against Isaac. Ishmael become he came and tried. He tried to mess with Isaac and tease him and mock him. And Sarah said, "I can't have my son mocked." See, you can't mock the promise. Y'all don't hear that. Sarah said, I can't have my son going through all of this with this boy, and I need to get, he's 13 and my boy is just a little one, and he is envious of a little baby. He's 13 and he's envious of him. I can't have that, so we got to get him out. So do you know that your flesh will be envious of the promises of God? That, you know, people who walk in the flesh is going to be envious of the things that God said to you. Come on and say amen. And sometimes we got to realize that we got to cut, we got to let them go. God bless you, but I got to let you go. Come on and say amen. And I'm not saying that we just need to be writing people off, but I'm saying when it's interfering with the promises of God, then you got to walk away. When it's interfering with what God has said, you got to let go. Come on and say amen. Tell somebody, say, let go. Because it's in your way of getting the promises fulfilled in your life. Sarah decided that she needed to let Hagar and Ishmael go. Abraham said, no, I can't do that because that's my son. And by the way, I like Hagar hanging out with us. And Sarah said, no, you got to let her go. And then Abraham went and prayed. And God said, Abraham, listen to your wife. Let that woman go. I'll take care of them. Come on and say amen. And so he let her go and they left. But he staggered not at the promises of God. He had faith in God. And the Bible says he gave glory unto God. How is it that we give glory to God? By continuing to walk the walk, continuing to have faith, continuing to know that God can and he will, that God can do anything but fail, lie, and die, that God can open up doors that no man can shut, that God can shut doors that no man can open. And by the way, if man think he can close doors, I always say that there are more windows in the house than doors, that God will open up the window and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. Tell somebody, I ain't got no more room, but God's still blessing. I got to give some stuff away, but God is still blessing. I got to clean my pantry out, but God is still blessing. I got to clean my closet out, preacher, but God is still blessing. Got to give some shoes away because I got me some new ones. Come on. I wish I had somebody in the house that said God is still blessing. I got to open up more than one bank account, because I can't trust him with all my money in one. God is still, y'all don't hear me. Oh, come on and give God some glory in this house. We need to know that God is still in the blessing business. But look at what he said. We got to forget the problem and we got to be fully persuaded. I'm almost done. I know you're ready to go. He said, and therefore, excuse me, and being fully persuaded, verse 21, that he had promised he was able to perform. You got to be persuaded that God can do what he said he could do. See, the problem is that one problem is that we don't know what God is saying. That's why we doubt if God said it. That's why we don't know if God is going to do it, because you don't know if he really said it. So it is important for you to get yourself in worship so you can hear what God is saying. It is important for you to get in a place where you can hear God. You hear everybody else. Sometimes you got to turn off the phone and turn off Lifetime television, turn off the game. You got to get in a place where you can hear God, where you know that God is speaking. You got to get in a place where ain't no distractions, because God said, I ain't going to share no time. You need to pay attention. I'm not sharing time with him or her. I may have sent them to you, but you need to let them know, first off, I got to serve God. So at this time, I won't be doing any talking to you, because I'm here listening to God. We got to learn how to listen. We can't go. Abraham didn't go with a grocery list and tell God everything that he wanted. Abraham was just there because God came to see him, and God must be that God had something to say, because if God comes to see you, if God comes to visit, he must have something to tell you. And so when God come to visit us, we think it's a time to tell him everything that's wrong. He already know what's wrong. Abraham didn't have to tell him that God ain't got no son. God already knew he didn't have a son. I wish I had somebody. And since God saw his faith and God knew that he didn't have a son, God said, I'm going to give you one. And not only am I going to give you one son, but that son going to have many sons. And those sons are going to have more sons. And before you know it, you'll be a father of many nations. And let me tell you how God works. I wish I had somebody tell somebody God is awesome. He'll do what we think he can't do. What God did with Abraham, he gave him three sets of sons. Even though we don't realize it, God gave him three sets of sons. He gave him one named Ishmael. Then he gave him another named Isaac. And then there were the sons of Keturah, in which Moses married one of the sons' children. Amen. The Bible says that it was Joseph who met all his cousins, because it was the Ishmaelites that took him into Egypt. But it was the Midianites, I wish I had somebody, one of the sons of Keturah, that pulled him up out of the pit. I wish I had a few people. Sometimes you got to be careful of who pulls you out of the pit, because they might sell you off. Preach up in this house. We got to see what God has done. The Bible says that in verse number 21, he said, you got to know God can do just what he said he could do. Anybody know he can do it? Tell him God can do anything but fail. I don't doubt him, because I know too much about him. Is God a doctor? No, but he's a healer, because he ain't got to practice medicine. He don't do it for trial and error. He can just speak a word. The Bible says that he sent his word and he healed us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We ought to understand that he'll be a rock in a weary land. Come on and say amen. That he'll be your shelter in the time of the storm. I can hide in his pavilion. Somebody give God some praise. But God is able to do what nobody else can do. Look at verse number 22. He said it was imputed as righteousness. Verse 23, he said, but it wasn't written for his sake alone. What are you saying here? Paul is letting us know that because Abraham was faithful, that he believed in God, not just believed that God exists, because the devil believed he exists too. But the Bible says that you got to trust God, that God will do what he said, that you'll trust God, that he's not short of his word, that you'll trust God, that he loves you and he'll come and see about you. And so he imputed to that as righteousness. In other words, Abraham didn't have to work to be right. That's why he could lie and still be blessed. Y'all don't hear me. I know it don't sound right, but it wasn't about his works, but it was about his faith. That's why when Abraham, come on and shout glory, the Bible said, let me finish. He said, it's not written for Abraham's sake alone. It's not written just to brag on Abraham. It's not written just to talk about his faith. He said, but it's written for you and me so that we would trust God, so we would know that God specializes in things impossible, that God works miracles where it seemed to be nothing working for you. I wish I had a few people. But then in verse 24, he said, we also got righteousness. He said, if we can believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I'm trying to hurry to a close because y'all ready to get out of here. He said, because you believe, God makes you right. Not because you walk right, but because you believe right. Not because you said the right thing, but because you trust in the right thing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He said, he delivered us. Oh, come on and shout glory. He said, when he died, he delivered us from offenses. In other words, when he died, all our sin was washed away. But then you know what? Even though you're not guilty, I wish I had a few people. You know how it is. You might have been guilty of something, but you were acquitted of your guilt. They said, okay, we ain't gonna put you in jail. They're gonna let you ride. But the people in the community, they still say, look at them. Look at old rotten self. They know they was guilty. They just knew that lawyer. They just knew that judge, who is my lawyer and who is my judge. Jesus Most High. I wish I had somebody. But then look at the other part. He said when he was raised again, he said it was for justification. He said, in other words, even though when he died, it was to get rid of your sin, but then when he rose up, it was for to make you right. No matter what people say, when the devil accuses you, God said, that's all right. I wish I had a few people, because the devil talks about you on a daily basis. He put his word in some people's mouth, and just like God put his word in our mouth, the devil put his word in other folks' mouth. Y'all don't hear me in here. And so what happens here is that when the devil, the Bible says every day and every night, he accuses you of being you. Y'all didn't get that. He accuses you of lying sometime. He accuses you of lusting sometime. He accuses you of telling people something that you shouldn't tell them. I wish I had somebody. But when we look at what God said, he justified. God said, it's just if I had done what they did, so I don't have any judgment for them. I wish I had a few people. It said that God is saying that even though you're guilty, I say not guilty. Even though you're wrong, I say you're right. Even say you're down, but God say you're up. I wish I had somebody come on and say, I'm fully persuaded. Anybody persuaded about what God has done? So when I tell you this, I'm going to try to get to my seat. I'm trying to get there, I promise. The Bible says that Abraham had a son. When Isaac was born, they named him Laughter because he made him happy. And he made him laugh. That's what God promises will do in your life. The Bible says that the promises of God, I wish I had somebody, will bring joy and not sorrow. I wish I had a few people that say, I got promises and God made me laugh. But God said, I'm going to take what you're not laughing. I'll take what makes you laugh and I want you to kill it. Abraham took what made him laugh, walked him up the hill, called Moriah, the same place that we call Calvary, took him up the hill, he put him on the wood, got ready to kill him, and God said, hold your hope. Tell somebody, hold your hope. He said, there's a ram in the bush. I wish I had somebody. Now, who was that ram? It was Jesus Christ. Somebody shout glory. Who horns were caught in the thicket. They put a crown on his head to represent the thorns and the crown of his head represent the thicket that he got caught in. He couldn't get away from it because it was the will of God that he must die. But you got to understand that he was in covenant with God. And because he was in covenant, the Bible says that God had a covenant with Abraham. And because of this Abrahamic covenant, God looked at Abraham. And in the covenant that says that you, whatever you would do for your covenant partner, your covenant partner would do for you. And since Abraham was willing to give up his only begotten son, God said, I got one. I got my only begotten. In the name of Jesus Christ, I let him die on the same hill. They come on and say yes. But when he died, they took him off the hill, wrapped him in grave clothes, and put him in a rock.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Nagatomi.